In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Charbel Maclouf was a man continually given to prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. He intensely lived the daily Mass and led a life of continuous penance, working in the fields of the convent in silence to earn his bread. His life was prayer, penance, and work. After his death, thousands and thousands of devotees come to visit his grave, where God continues to perform miracles. Each saint lives some aspect of the life of Christ more intensely. Saint Charbel stood out in the silence of his life as a hermit, with continual penance and prayer. This, without ignoring the problems of the world, his country, and his family, for whom he constantly interceded. Therefore, one day, when God revealed to him that an acquaintance had gone to hell, he began to cry inconsolably. When Saint Charbel Maclouf did not go to class, he took the family animals to graze and retired to pray in front of an image of the Virgin Mary, prayed the rosary, read a devotional book, and even burned some incense that he had taken from the sacristy after helping at Mass. One of the witnesses of the canonization process stated, "When the cow he was herding had eaten enough, he whispered in her ear, 'Now stay calm and don't move until I finish my prayers. I can't talk to you and talk to God at the same time. God must be preferred.'" Our saint was tall and skinny, but with luminous eyes and a special personal charm. When he was already a monk, a witness of the process of canonization said, "He was very weak in body, thin, but he was seen resplendent with light, and all his life he was a good farm worker." In the monastery Saint Marun Anaya, he spent 2 years as a novice, and on October 1, 1853, he was officially received as a monk when he pronounced his perpetual vows. During Mass, he appeared bareheaded, barefoot, and without a belt, surrounded by monks who had lighted candles. He was invited by the superior to pronounce the formula for the vows of obedience, chastity, and poverty, according to the rules of the order. The superior said to him, "My son, you know that the angels are present, although invisible, right here, and listen to your words. Try to be attentive and express with all your heart and with full will the vows that you are going to make." Next, the superior placed his hands on his head to entrust to the Lord the commitment he had just made and invoked God's blessings upon him in union with the entire community. Saint Charbel Maclouf stood out among his companions for the faithful fulfillment of his vows. As for purity, he was extremely demanding and did not want to look at any woman's face. If one of them crossed his path, he preferred one of them to withdraw to the side. If he had to go to a house to pray for a sick person, he would ask the women to come out while he was there. He did not want to receive any woman from his family while he was in the hermitage, not even his own mother. He just talked to her through her window without seeing her. This seems exaggerated to our current eyes, but he wanted to take care of his purity down to the smallest detail because the devil gave him many dishonest temptations that made him suffer. A witness testified in the process of beatification that one day they were working in the fields when he heard our saint shouting for help. He came to his aid and upon reaching him, replied that nothing was wrong. He cried out again and questioning him insistently, he said, "Forgive me, brother, but I am experiencing a terrible temptation. Pray for me." In relation to obedience, Saint Charbel considered himself the servant of all. At home, he obeyed the superior, in the fields, the layman who was the foreman. When he was in the hermitage, he obeyed his companion, who was younger. He obeyed everyone, and if they called his attention to something, he would get down on his knees and ask for forgiveness. In relation to poverty, he was penitent to the extreme. He only ate once a day, no sweets or sugar or honey. He used to abstain from wine, milk, meat, or fruit. Only at feasts did he eat butter. His meal consisted of a plate of vegetables, lentils, chickpeas, peas according to the seasons, all seasoned with oil. In the soup, he put a few pieces of bread. At the end, he would collect the leftovers from the meal, the crumbs thrown away, the crumbs that were left on the table, and ask permission to put them away. He ate the bread in small pieces, as if tasting it, without leaving the slightest crumb. After the meal, while the other monks went to rest, he went to the church to pray. He was wearing a pair of torn sandals. He had good ones, but he only used them to go to celebrate Mass. His cell was narrow and bare of everything. He had nothing but a cot, a lamp, a pottery vase, and some books on piety and theology. His bed was made of two or three planks with a mat of dried grass covered with a goatskin rug. His only books were the Confessions of St. Augustine of Hippo, The Imitation of Christ, The Preparation for Death, The Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus Liguori, and The Exercise of Perfection. When our saint was in the fields working, he did the hardest jobs. In the afternoon, when he finished work, the others returned with their hands free, while he carried a good bundle of firewood on his shoulders, stooped under the weight, and praying with the Holy Rosary in his hand. However, he had a great sense of cleanliness, and despite wearing old and faded clothes, he always kept them clean. And all this without counting that he wore a cilice, also known as a sackcloth, on his body, to do penance and gave himself disciplines to pray and intercede for the conversion of sinners around the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.